Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. Imagine being able to store red blood cells as a bottle of powder on a shelf, not needing any refrigeration. Or, for those who need regular transfusions, being able to receive one through a simple injection into the upper arm, like a shot. Our next guest is a University of South Carolina professor who's been an integral part of this nano blood technology. Chris Robinson is chair of the Department of Fine Arts at the University of South Carolina campus in Beaufort, South Carolina, and a consultant for nanoblood and Synzyme technologies in South Dakota. Today, he's in our studio. Chris, welcome.
Thanks very much, Mike.
So give us the background on all of this. How did you get involved in nanoblood? It says you're an art teacher.
Well, this frequently raises questions. I'm a visual artist. But I was meeting with a science study group at the University of South Carolina, and we put together a granting team and worked together for about 10 or 15 years on the concept of nanotechnology. I was presenting at a nanomedicine conference in Istanbul, Turkey, and normally I track down scientists because they're the heart of my work, and I try and find scientists who are sympathetic and will share with me. But to my surprise at this conference, a person had left a message at the desk for me to track them down. And it was Carlton Shaw, who runs these companies and is an innovator in nanoblood. Every specialist seems to suggest that Carlton has really found some therapeutics that are going to make a significant difference in the industry, not only for blood storage, but for sickle cell anemia, traumatic brain injury, stroke, and now it looks like cancer as well.
And what has been your role in all of this?
Carlton and I went to another conference, spoke some more, developed a relationship, and he asked me to do some consulting, mostly just generating visual images to help to promote the product. But as we became better acquainted with one another, he asked me to serve as vice president of communications for the company.
What is your opinion of the timeline here of when red blood cells will actually be in powder form on a shelf? Especially, I guess this could be useful in third world countries where refrigeration is an issue.
Absolutely. I think with all the other wonderful initiatives, this may be the one that has the broadest impact. And just a plug for Carlton, he's not so much interested in making money, as funny as that sounds, in business. He's genuinely interested in doing something beneficial for the world. And just imagine the effect that this would have on the third world, being able to provide emergency services without the need for refrigeration or storage. Nanotechnology is a fascinating science. And one of the things that makes these therapeutics so beneficial is they are 10,000 times smaller than a red blood cell, which helps to promote flow, which seems to have a significant effect on a variety of diseases and certainly on blood transfusions.
So the timeline might be another 10, 20 years?
Yes, it got off track. Unfortunately, development of a new therapeutic is really tough, long-lived, and expensive. You have to convince a lot of people first, and then you have to develop a manufacturing facility and then spend millions and millions of dollars going through clinical trials. We're through phase one, now working on phase two, and we have high hopes that all this will work out.
So how do you develop images of this, being that they are so small?
This was one of the reasons that I was brought on, but we know in microscopy that we need to magnify light, but the nanoscale is smaller than wavelengths of light, so a whole new generation of microscopes have been constructed that allow you to, quote, see by touch, with the touch of an electron or some similar beam, and it develops a topographic surface that can then be manipulated algorithmically, and you can generate an image. Now, the first person to do this was a gentleman named Don Igler at IBM. He invented some of the original devices, the atomic force microscope. And since it's manipulable algorithmically, a lot of scientists have taken a little bit of license with how they manipulate the images. And they've been more concerned with making them look pretty than making them substantive. So there's been a whole culture developed around being honest about the nature of the image. 25 years, 30 years ago, if you would have looked at a scientific publication, you may have seen a black and white graph. Today, images in science are rich with colorful images, and most scientists know that the higher the quality of their images, the more likely they are to get grants. So I was brought in to develop an accurate and meaningful realization of how nanoblood looked at this scale.
And people can find your images, I guess, at the company's websites.
Yes, you can see the images on the company sites for Semzyne or nanoblood.
And we will have links to both of those posted at our webpage, as well as a link to your department at Beaufort at USCB.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Mike.
And thank you. Chris Robinson is chair of the Department of Fine Arts at the University of South Carolina, Beaufort. He is also a consultant for Nanoblood and Synzyme Technologies. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can also subscribe to this podcast with the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.